with healing in their hands. God's got an army marching to the land. Let me hear a war cry.
Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. It is Eric the Freedom Screamer with Laurie Anderson, Erie, Michigan, and Chris in Las Vegas. I just wanted to correct one little thing. I think maybe Stuart Rhodes got a little bit wrong there. So he said he was being a little too kind. I wouldn't say it was sheepdog versus sheepdog. I would say it's sheepdog versus street Nazis. Thank you, Laurie. Back to you.
Not a problem. Okay, so what I wanted to do is I wanted to give some updates. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. I want to say Semper Fidelis to all the veterans and all active military. You are our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our fathers. And I understand that the military is being run basically by United Nations orders, but that does not change the fact that you are our family. We long for the day that you are here to protect our soil and not sent off into illegal and unlawful wars.
Right.
But I still have nothing but the highest respect for each one of you. And I want to say Semper Fidelis to each and every one of you. With that being said, I do have an update on Tom Lacavera Stewart.
Oh, good.
He is no longer in prison. Tom has been successfully transferred last night to a halfway house in Oregon. I do not have the information as to location yet, but I do know that he has arrived. He is safe. Specific location information, calling abilities, and rules will be given out later next week when Lori does get that information. She's going to be on with us sometime next week to give us the information, and that she will obtain that information after Tom's counselor gets in there. So we look forward to those updates next week, but I did want to give out the good news that Tom is now no longer in the prison, and he has successfully been moved to a halfway house, of which I do not know. I just do know that it is in Oregon.
Good news.
So then, yeah, absolutely. So
I mean, it's kind of good news. They ought to let him go, but I mean, I don't know what this halfway house garbage is, other than more incarceration, more way to extend the bonded case longer, more money in the pocket of the private facility that's half housing him. It's insane. I won't get going down that tangent too far, but yeah, okay. I mean, it's good. It's better news than it was the other day, but it's still, we want him released immediately.
Yeah, we do. But I mean, I have a theory, but it's nothing that can be proven. It's just kind of a hunch for me, since it's anywhere from 120 days to 180. Maybe it's just for the time for the covering of the Bundy Ranch trials to make sure that he can't leave Oregon.
Yeah, well, we know everything. You're right. I got an answer to that. We know. First of all, we know everything's arbitrary with the witch's court, ultimately, so you can't really count on anything. But what I heard is, no, you were exactly right. It's not a theory. It was in the paperwork. I think when I talked to Lori, she said it was, I think she said it was 90 days. So 3 months, he's in a halfway house. He ought to have phone privileges. He should be able to do this broadcast. I don't know what the hang-up would be. It's in Oregon at 10 o'clock Eastern. It's got to be, 7 o'clock out there. 7 to 9, Chris got away with it when he was locked up, but I don't know if they'll let him do it on a steady basis, but we welcome Tom's return.
Oh, Lord, yes. So we will find out more next week about that. Updates on the Bundy situation. As you know, November the 14th is when the trial officially starts, the jury trial. But there has been a lot of things going around with this trial and the prosecution and all sorts of neat little stuff. So here are some of the updates. Of course, Cliven Bundy, they would not allow him during the hearing because they did hear for Cliven Bundy, Ryan Bundy, Ammon Bundy, and Ryan Payne for pretrial release again. And it was decided, and the third Bunkerville standoff trial in Las Vegas has been delayed for several motions to be resolved before the opening arguments begin. Thursday, a pretrial detention release hearing for the four defendants, as I just stated, Cliven, Ryan Ammon, and Ryan Payne. Brett Whipple, who is the attorney for Cliven Bundy, argued for the release of his client, citing his age and failing health. The elderly Bundy has noticeably weakened since his incarceration nearly 2 years ago. Whipple told the court of Bundy's dental problems, noting that the 71-year-old has had to pull several of his own teeth in his attempts to stop infections. Dental care is minimal, of course, in the CCA detention center. Cliven Bundy's oldest daughter, Cherie Cox, was visibly upset during the hearing and was removed by the U.S. Marshals for shaking her head in disbelief. The Marshals have banned her from the courtroom for the remainder of the trial. She did tell her father that she loved him as she was led out of the room. Navarro did not delay her ruling and said that his lack of respect for federal rules and regulations is one of the reasons that he will stay in jail. Ryan Payne was also denied release quickly by Judge Gloria Navarro. Navarro cited Payne's guilty plea in the Mauhere protest trial in Oregon and that he is awaiting sentencing in that case. Judge Anna Brown, who presided over the Oregon case, does have standing to weigh in on the issue of Payne's release should Navarro choose to consider it. Ammon Bundy testified and argued for his own release and promised the court that he would abide by all restrictions and curfews set for him. Prosecutor Daniel Chice made every attempt to paint a picture of a man that could not be trusted. Judge Navarro delayed her ruling, saying that she will give the prosecutors another chance to make their case on Monday, November the 13th. Ryan Bundy, who should have had a great chance at release, was also denied. Ryan made a compelling argument for his release, citing the need for trial preparation. Navarro has indicated that she would like to see him be on equal footing with other attorneys, as he is defending himself. Bundy, however, has not been allowed this equal footing since he has been denied basic preparation materials, including a pen and paper, on different occasions. So some of the updates of what is going on. Kind of a general summary of this week. Cliven Ammon, Ryan Bundy, and co-defendant Ryan Payne are accused of conspiring to block federal agents from enforcing court orders when the BLM tried to confiscate Cliven Bundy's cattle. The cattle were on public land where the ranch had grazing and water rights since the late 1800s. The government actions resulted in the deaths of approximately 100 head of cattle and the destruction of Bundy's livestock watering system built throughout the last century. Four defendants have been incarcerated since January of 2016. They were each charged with 10 felonies. Each man could be sentenced to more than 100 years in prison for their involvement while resisting the confiscation. The men are brought to court in shackles, and each man has a significant weight loss since their incarceration. All their motions for pretrial releases have been denied. 12 jurors chosen for this trial consist of 6 women and 6 men. The 4 alternates consist of 3 men and 1 woman. The group is very diverse racially, and all prospective jurors with any apparent bias to either side seem to be eliminated. Also eliminated was a juror who stated on a juror questionnaire that the protest was somehow related to Uranium One. Somebody who had some knowledge there. But the prosecution and Judge Navarro were very concerned that he would not be able to put the idea aside to make an unbiased decision. The judge was not concerned about a woman juror who said on her questionnaire that she thought the Bundys were guilty. However, the defense had to use a peremptory strike on that juror. A continuation of a prior evidentiary hearing was held on November the 3rd. The hearing focused the shredded documents found after the protest in 2014. The defendants think the documents could have contained evidence that would aid in the defense and therefore be discoverable, which means the government had a legal obligation to share the information with the defendants. In the prior hearing, Clint Kleeman, an investigator for the BLM, testified that acting U.S. attorney in Nevada and lead prosecutor in this trial, Stephen Myrie, not only asked him to investigate this issue, but set the perimeters and directed the course of the investigation. Myrie repeatedly objected to this testimony, calling it, quote-unquote, privileged. Kleeman also testified he learned of a, quote, hurried shredding event, unquote. He did not pursue investigation diligently by questioning all of the people involved, nor did he ask why the shredding was done. Prosecutor Stephen Myrie was conveniently absent for the November 3rd hearing. Kleeman also may have breached proper protocol when he called each of the witnesses within a week of this testimony on November 3rd. Four witnesses claimed that they did not talk about anything pertaining to the case, except that they would probably be called to testify on the 3rd. During the November 3rd hearing, these four witnesses from the Unified Command Staff that had been at the ranch testified repeatedly that they could not recall any shredding. A shredder was on site, according to testimony from Randy Lavasseur. I hope I said that name correctly. The November 3rd witnesses were, number one, BLM Deputy Special Agent in charge of Nevada and Utah, Zachary Oper, who served directly under Special Agent Daniel Love.
Hey, Lori.
Yes?
Hold that. Stop. Pause right there, and we'll get right back to you. I just wanted to ask you a quick question about just what you just read.
Mm-hmm.
You notice how, now, if you were involved with something like that, you did not do any shredding, and I said, Lori, did you do any shredding of any paper? Or you would say no. Mm-hmm. Now, notice how they don't say that. They say,
I don't recall.
Right. That tells you right there that they did, and they're using the I don't remember excuse. They feel like they can legally get away. Yeah, liars.
Right. Yeah, they love the I don't recall. Because then it gives them that little wraparound, if you will, so they can't say that, well, they lied on the stand. Right? The number two witness, Eric, was the U.S. Park Service Chief Investigator Mary Henson. Number three was Captain of the United States Park Police Pamela Smith. And then number four was Chief Ranger of the U.S. Park Service Randy Lavasseur. So all those witnesses could remember taking a part in the conference call to Washington, D.C. that supposedly led to the release of the cattle and their own evacuation of the Bunkerville standoff, but none of the four could recall the name of the person in Washington, D.C. that gave the order, I'm sure.
You don't know who their boss is?
No! All four of them remember the call. They just absolutely couldn't remember who gave that order. None of the four could recall the name of the man that took the notes on the conference call using a laptop computer, nor which agency he was with. Well, sounds to me like someone needs to be fired for incompetence.
Can I speculate?
Sure. Go ahead, Chris.
I would be guessing they may have talked with their boss, Neil Kornsey, the Harry Reid appointee, to the head of the BLM.
Or maybe it led all the way up to the White House.
Could be.
Since we're speculating and all. Because, of course, that's just theory. Just saying.
Since they can't remember, that's all we can do.
Right. So Mary Henson, she insisted several times that she did not take any notes of what happened on April the 14th. When presented with a 5-page memorandum that she had written about the event by defense attorney Morgan Philpott, prosecutor Nadia Ahmed asked if the defense was going to impeach Henson. Ooh, it's getting good. In a prior hearing, Bureau of Land Management Special Agent Daniel Love testified that the Department of Justice had overridden his authority as the incident commander. Oh, you mean he found out he wasn't as big of a dog as he thought he was, huh? Go ahead.
Couldn't they have done a reverse cross-reference of the phone records and find out who those four were on a call with on that date and time and refresh their failing memories?
Oh, yeah, that's really easy. That's really easy. You know, get phone records. That's really easy. Just saying. Absolutely. So it says that Daniel Love implicated former U.S. Attorney Daniel Bogden for making the decision to release the cattle that brought an end to the protest. He stated that the order to surrender and release the cows was given immediately after he spoke to Bogden. During the November 3rd hearing, there was a repeated and detailed testimony by witness Mary Henson about the camera set on the hill overlooking the Bundy home and possibly another camera 6 miles down the road. This equipment was set up and monitored by the FBI within the command trailer. Wasn't Comey in office at that point? Just questioning, was he?
Perhaps.
I'm not sure, but I think he was. The existence of any cameras had always been denied until this hearing when Ryan Bundy questioned the witnesses. Randy LaFessor also testified that he saw the video stream from the cameras. It's expected that the defense will make another motion for evidence from the one or two cameras in the near future. Even though federal witnesses had severe memory lapses, contradicted each other, and possibly impeached herself, the judge seemed to accept their credibility without question. Furthermore, Judge Navarro stated that, quote, just because a piece of paper or video exists doesn't mean it's discoverable. It needs to have a particular type of value, unquote. Yeah, how about proof of what went on?
They can just make up anything.
Absolutely. So she therefore denied the defendant's motion for dismissal of the case, and she also denied remedial jury instruction. The press and court observers crowded the courtroom to hear opening statements on November 7th after a few hours of discussing evidence the prosecution has not provided. Court date has been again delayed to November the 14th, 8:30 a.m. to all of you who want to go and become courtroom observers to keep 14. Them as honest as you can. The location is 333 Las Vegas Boulevard, South Las Vegas, Nevada. And there you go. They're expecting the trial to be...
Hold on a minute. It's not at 333, is it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. The numerologists are working overtime. And then it's the 14th, is it? Early in the morning. Okay, the 14th, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
All right.
Absolutely. Okay, so...
People, you're west of the Mississippi, you should be there.
Oh, absolutely. We have much more that goes along with this. So... Ryan Payne has now exposed, and the government has been caught recording privileged phone calls with attorneys. Sherry DeMolle from Readout News reported that the government prosecutors in the Bunkerville standoff trial in Las Vegas have been recording the privileged phone meetings between defendants and their attorneys, according to a filing by Ryan Payne. Good job, Ryan Payne. Motion to dismiss filed yesterday. Oh, I know. So the motion to dismiss was filed yesterday, November the 8th, states that the government collected privileged attorney-client phone calls from an incarcerated defendant and then denied possessing such privileged materials. You don't say. On September 11th, 2017, the government disclosed hundreds of phone calls, including calls made from jail, by co-defendant Blaine Cooper and the attorney representing him. I will finish on that note after we hear a couple of words from our sponsor. Hang with us.
The smoke is rising in the shadows overhead.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is Derek Freedom, Spirit of Glory Anderson, Gary, and Chris. And I guess I'll turn it right back over to you, Lori. I thought there was a point I wanted to make, and it slipped my mind, so I might kick back in here. We got still another 40 minutes to go. So, Lori, what else do you have for us? Where did we leave off?
Okay. So, on September the 11th, 2017, the government disclosed hundreds of phone calls, including calls made from jail by co-defendant Blaine Cooper and the attorney representing him. The motion goes on to state, quote, the recordings, which were made while Mr. Cooper was incarcerated at the Las Vegas City Jail between January 22, 2017 and February 17, 2017, addressed matters relating to the instant case, including preparation, criminal allegations, and strategy. Back in October of 2016, Payne believed that the CCA, Pahrump, the prison in which he was incarcerated, was recording his phone calls. He subsequently filed a motion which requested the court to issue an order. Number one, compelling the government to produce any recordings of the conversations with counsel. And number two, instructing officials at CCA Pahrump to cease and desist from recording privileged attorney-client phone communications. Court denied the motion based on the government's insistence that it had no recordings of conversations between Payne and his counsel or between Payne's co-defendants and their counsel. However,
right. See, they don't. Lori, is it accurate to say, you know, see, they don't because it's a private prison. It's not an agent of the government. It's a private. That's the problem. So the government may not have the recordings, but the prison owned by Goldman Sachs, 1.7 million shares by six people in the Goldman Trump administration, yeah, they may have the recordings. Where the government may, they may be telling the truth. The government may not have it, but it is in the hands of Concentration Camps of America, CCA.
Well, true, but it goes on to state, since the government's disclosure of recording Cooper's calls with his attorneys, it's clear the statements made by the prosecutors were untrue. Because even if it was held by CCA, they showed that they had Cooper's calls. So it's clear that the prosecutors were making untrue statements. So this would be considered prosecutorial misconduct, of course. They made recordings of the defendant's privileged calls with their attorneys. It is clear prosecution, including the AUSA Myrie, have underestimated the federal public defender's office and the defendants themselves. They've attempted to overwhelm the defense with large amounts of late discovery, but apparently assumed that with little money allocated to the public defenders that no one would have the resources to actually review the recording. These attorneys have taken this case much more seriously than the prosecutors expected and are holding the prosecutors accountable. This is a serious violation of U.S. Constitution. They've recorded protected communications of attorneys and their clients. We've seen multiple violations during the past 2 years this court has allowed. Navarro has allowed the prosecution nearly everything they have asked for while denying the defense even the basics. But this is huge. Even Navarro will not be able to justify this breach. It is in the realm of possibility that a full dismissal of the case will soon be given. Now, Freedom Outpost has reported, here you go, and this is another little bit of information that is a handout to friendly handout to Alex Jones if he wants to cover this as well, because he also covers the WikiLeaks Podesta email in quotes, and then the Bundys showed up, unquote. Tim Brown reported on November the 9th, 2017, in the pile of emails released by WikiLeaks, there was one from the American Progress Action to Hillary Clinton campaign manager John Podesta that contained a brief reference to the Bundys. The email address progress@AmericanProgressAction.org sent Podesta an email on January the 11th, 2016 with the subject line, "And then the Bundys showed up." The text of the email reads as follows. After years of conflict, residents of Harney County, Oregon, had finally begun to rebuild ties between ranchers and the federal government. Then the Bundys showed up, and President Obama is leaving a seat open for shooting victims at tomorrow's State of the Union address. In case you missed it, gun violence survivors speak out in this powerful video. And on that note, I'll be right back with you after a couple of words from our sponsors. Hang in there, because it gets even more interesting.
The smoke is rising in the shadows overhead.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with Veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefits. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Try not to get worried, try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Well, don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's fine, and we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight.
Everything's all right, yes, everything's all right, yes.
Sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you and anoint you with all your...
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Freedom Scream Radio. I am your guest host this evening, Rory Anderson, joined, of course, with Eric Hughes Jones, host of this show, and Gary and Chris all joining. And I am trying to get you as much information as I can of some of the information that is coming out again, connecting those dots of Uranium One, Hillary Clinton, John Podesta, and Think Progress, which, of course, leads straight back to George Soros, which has everything to do with the Lavoie-Finicum assassination, the Oregon situation over the land issues, as well as the Bundy trials. All of this is connected. If you want to hear more details about that, you can go back into the archives on Republic Broadcast Network, October 25th show. And we have guests Shauna Cox and Laz Encinaro. And they name names as well as shell companies that are connected with this, all the way up to judges, governors, law enforcement, and the such. So that is one show. If you have not heard it, you do not want to miss. So what I was reporting to you about, Tim Brown reported on this, freedomoutpost.com, and he let you know that in case you missed it, gun violence survivors are speaking out. This is part of the email, by the way, that Podesta sent on January the 11th, 2016. Thank you once again, WikiLeaks. In case you missed it, gun violence survivors speak out in this powerful video. Editor's note, tissues recommended. Additionally, there was a list of articles linked to Think Progress. And at the top of the list was one titled, How the Bundy Standoff Could Screw Over Ranchers. The article's been removed and has not been archived. Keep in mind, this email was sent less than 2 weeks before Oregon state troopers, alongside the FBI, shot and killed LaVoy Finicum, also a rancher who stood alongside the Bundys at the Bundy Ranch in Bunkerville in 2014 and at the Mount Hero Wildlife Refuge in Oregon in late 2015 and 2016. This may also be insightful since we know from texts and emails that the White House at the time was in communication with the Oregon governor and helping to orchestrate the takedown of men who were simply exercising their constitutional rights, even to the point of killing one of them. He was straight assassinated. Tim Brown reported on those documents in March of 2016. Northwest Liberty News radio show, a bombshell from documents Jim White and I obtained, indicates that the entire operation of January 26, 2016, goes up not only to the Oregon Governor Kate Brown's office, but even to the White House. Because of the language that was used in the documents by officers, we speculated, along with Red Smith of ShastaLantern.com and Paul Preston of Agenda21Radio.com, that the White House orchestrated the entire thing, and that when it comes to calling the shots, we don't look at Barack Hussein, Obama, Satoru, Siborka, but rather to Obama's mama, Valerie Jarrett. First, let me remind you that there are over 600 emails and texts that indicate that Governor Brown was in the loop on everything that was going on in Oregon during the protest at the Mount Hero Refuge, including some emails and texts that were directly from her. Second, due to newly released documents, we know that at least one Oregon state trooper specifically acknowledged that the county to which the protesters were traveling on the day of LaVoy Finicum's murder was well known to be a UN-free zone. The officer made the statement as though it was common knowledge. So does that mean that Harney County is not a UN-free zone? Absolutely. Now, absolutely is me, not in the article, by the way. However, in those same documents, we've run across even more chilling and telling statements concerning where the command for the roadblock and the ambush came from. If you pick up the radio show at the 7-minute mark, which will, of course, leave links below in the description box underneath this radio show so that you can access all these links and this article as well, then you will hear Red Smith detail what is in the documents. In the disposition of another officer, he acknowledged that the authorization for the operation that led to the murder of LaVoy Finicum came from the highest levels of the National Command Authority, unquote. Now, National Command Authority in the United States applies to the President and Secretary of Defense. Smith said he has only heard National Command Authority used in military terms. Keep in the back of your mind that our military has been given propaganda against such Americans as those that gathered at Bundy Ranch in 2014 and those that protested the unconstitutional land grab of the D.C. government and the Bureau of Land Management. So why was their command coming from the White House regarding a small protest in Oregon? Furthermore, who actually issued that command? It has been said that the Iranian-born Valerie Jarrett has been Obama's closest advisor and that she was the one who talked Obama out of alleged Osama bin Laden hit and later was the one that gave the stand-down order in Benghazi. Could she be the one who issued the order for this particular action? Jarrett is the one that told America that after 2012 elections, the gloves would come off, and they have. If the officer's disposition was not enough, among the emails that came from Governor Brown's office, she also made reference to her own discussions with National Command Authority. Guess who that turned out to be? None other than Valerie Jarrett. These men were innocent and demonstrated by a jury of their peers finding them innocent of all charges against them. And Mr. Finicum's daughter believes that her father would have also been found innocent alongside them had he not been gunned down. I don't think ranchers were necessarily quote, rebuilding ties between ranchers and the federal government, unquote. Those on the scene in Oregon said that people came to them by night to thank them for coming and exposing the corruption in Harney County. One reporter said that they saw the tyranny of that town, and perhaps a lot of it is due to the fact that a huge portion of the population works for the government. Ranchers had not been getting along with the central government, as evidenced by what the government did to the Hammond family in Oregon. Bullying by the tyrannical government is not, quote, rebuilding ties, no matter how you spin it. Additionally, I would encourage you to watch a video by Lo K and check out the documentation below listed in the video that connect the dots. I'm not going to go over all of that, but I will provide this article, which has all of the official links, including to BLM itself. So with that note, and we have exposed this over and over again, the very close ties with the Clinton Foundation, the Podestas, Uranium One, no wonder they can't stand WikiLeaks, and they're trying to still amazingly go after WikiLeaks. Now, I want to say that this is what I call the trial of the century. I do. Why? Because every one of your unalienable rights, every one of them are under attack. They have been for a very long time. However, they are really under attack in this trial. It's that simple. Now, Chris, I don't know about you, and Eric, I don't know about you, but I would love what I'm getting ready to tell you is, I think, very important for the public to know, and I guarantee you that many people do not know this. This is not even related to the Bundy trial, but then in another way, oh, it very well could be. The Boston Globe reported that a pharmacy is said to have delivered Alzheimer's drugs to members of Congress. Yes, you heard that correctly. All this stems and came out a couple of days after Nancy Pelosi forgot who she was supposed to be talking about. Just saying. It states, ADC pharmacist says that his pharmacy has filled prescriptions for pretty serious health problems for members of Congress, including drugs for Alzheimer's disease, according to a new interview published in STAT News. Pharmacist Grubbs Pharmacy owner Mike Kim made the disclosure as part of a larger story into a perk afforded to lawmakers. Drugs from a community pharmacy are delivered to the office of the attending physician, allowing members of Congress to avoid trips to the store. Quote, at first it's cool, and then you realize I'm filling some drugs that are for some pretty serious health problems as well. And these are the people that are running our country, Kim told Stat. It makes you kind of sit back and say, wow, they're making the highest laws of the land, and they might not even remember what happened yesterday. I'm not even going to go into the rest of that article. I think we need to put together, and let's see if we can get this done, a congressional Mental Capacity and Drug Prevention Act. What do you think? I believe that. I believe that because here's the thing. You've got these people who clearly, if you watch any of the things that they do, oh, let's just quote some of them. Pelosi, Feinstein, McCain, and others, right? I believe they should have to have, hey, they want people to have a mental evaluation in order to have an unalienable right, which is a weapon.
Oh, yeah, same with healthcare.
They should have to have a mental evaluation, drug prevention act, being drug test at random.
If you can do it for a
McDonald's for flipping burgers, then absolutely you should have to do it if you're a member of Congress or even in the White House.
Yep.
I'm just saying. So, as, you know, Feinstein, of course, is trying to push that new gun laws again. People, you need to understand this. The reason that they're doing this, this is not because they give a rip. This is because they're trying everything that they can do to push the Small Arms Trade Treaty. If you want something interesting to look up Freedom from War, the United States Program for General and Complete Disarmament in a Peaceful World. It was done in 1961, everyone.
Ah, Miss Lori, that yes. is State Department Bulletin Pamphlet Number 7277, and it has an evil, wicked twin sister, 10 United States Code 2358, the Strom Thurmond National Defense Authorization Act, also of 1961, by Prescott Bush.
Mm-hmm. And in 1961, this is just one part. This is in the third stage, by the way, because they want to fool you thinking, oh, this is only about nuclear disarmament. No, you need to read the whole thing, because no, it's not.
Small arm.
It does. Third stage. Quote, the manufacture of armaments would be prohibited except for those of agreed types and quantities to be used by the United Nations Peace Force and those required to maintain internal order. All other armaments would be destroyed or converted to peaceful purposes. Yeah. You might want to read that because this is what they're pushing. This is what they are always pushing. I get really tired. You know, if somebody said this, and anyone who listens to me knows I'm not Republican, Democrat. I'm two sides of the same coin. But the fact of the matter is most of these shooters are Democrats, right? So someone posted something, and they did each one of these shootings, and all of them had Democrat behind their name. And their comment was, why don't we just ban Democrats?
Yeah, but their intelligence agency handlers are usually Republicans.
I'd say they're both. They're not just Republicans. They're both.
Oh, we know
absolutely
that. Both.
They're both sides of the same coin. They really are. However, go ahead, Chris.
Well, I did promise the listeners, Eric and yourself, two nights ago that I would deliver you a case that has to do with the oath and affirmation to office, the loyalty oath specifically. So I'm going to read
perfect.
This thing. It won't take very long.
That's actually perfect because tomorrow's Veterans Day. We've covered Sheepdog on Sheepdog. And by the way, I just want to say this real quick, Chris. Thank you to all of the Marines, the law enforcement, the individuals who went to the Bunkerville standoff and actually stood up for the oath against those that were violating it.
Semper Fidelis. Semper Veritas.
Because that is exactly what you are really supposed to do, is to defend the homeland. Thank you. Go ahead, Chris.
Guard, protect, and defend. The case that I was speaking about that talked about the fidelity and the importance, the criticality of the loyalty oath to guard, protect, and defend the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, is specifically Wieman, W-I-E-M-A-N, et al., versus Updegraff, U-P-D-E-G-R-A-F-F, et al. That is 73 Supreme Court, 215. That was argued October 16th, 1952, and decided December 15th, 1952. And it cites Oklahoma cases, Louisiana cases, and several others. It's talking in tongued secrecy in a backhanded way by Doctrine of Infra about the bar requirements to register in the Foreign Agents Registration Act as enemies of America because they have divided oaths of fealty to foreign interests that supersede their alleged oaths of fidelity to the United States because they are foreign agents and must register, therefore, under the Foreign Agents Registration Act requirement, except for the carve-outs that some special group have invented for themselves to preclude them from being able to register as dual citizen Israeli agents when they are likely very closely allied and perhaps operatives of Mossad or even the Jesuit group of the Holy Roman Catholic Occult Church.
Well, I've got a question for you.
I have delivered.
I've got a question for you, Chris, because isn't that what Mueller is using to charge Manafort with? Is
yes.
that right there?
That is correct, because also Podesta, because they were both aborting in cahoots, seeking bribes and special dealings and selling uranium and other dangerous to America's national security commodities to the Russians, and getting largesse donations to the Clinton Foundation and the Podesta Foundation. And that is the Foreign Agents Registration Act, failure to register as a foreign agent while being a agent or an advocate for interests that are counterposed to America.
Right.
Hey, Lori, by the way, I want you to repeat the date of that broadcast that we did where Laz came on and, I mean, laid out the whole case. He could be the prosecutor on that case and should be. So for
that
Alex
was October
Jones to say, well, if Alex Jones is going to say it's not in the media, he didn't know about it, and was it in the media? The answer is yes. It was in the media here on the RBN network on October
25th.
Okay, so October 25th. So here's what I want everybody to do. Activism time. Go to Infowars.com. Go to the comments section and post a link to the broadcast that we did on October 25th where Laz came on and laid out the whole uranium deal. We got it in the news right here, and we're not trying to prove any points on that. We just want to get the word out there so he can spread it through his operation as well, because he reaches millions. And
absolutely,
we'll
work together.
We'll see how if Sessions picks it up, which I don't even want to make any commentary on that and try to be negative, but we'll just see where it goes from there.
Well, I'm going to tell
Eric and
you.
Lori.
Yeah, go ahead.
Remember, Harry Reid is up to his eyeballs in this thing, too, because he and his Roy Reid, with their Cedar Family Trust, LLC, and the Reid Family Trust, were involved in trying to acquire for the Chinese so-called solar radiation location or solar generating station in the Bundy Ranch, which was really a secret military installation with that secret up against the mountains behind the Bundy Ranch. Access with limited access for anybody else to know what was going on there. And because of that, you've also got Neil Kornsey, Harry Reid's, he mentored Neil Kornsey in his office as a law clerk until he got his law license and was recommended by Harry Reid for his appointment as head of the BLM, which was a very proprietary organization in carrying out this terroristic abuse of the Bundys and the ones up in Malheur. I should be able to tell you their names, but it's slipping my mind. I apologize to them.
The Hammonds?
Yes, where Lavoie Finicum was murdered. And so this is a really a grandiose conspiracy of the grandest nature, most complex device it could be. And I am not a conspiracy theorist. I am a conspiracy analyst. Gore Vidal said that. And I agree.
Well, there's a huge difference between theory and fact, and all those dots are connected.
And Tom Lacavara's on the list of people they picked. Tom Lacavara is right on the list as well, for people they took down in Oregon, you know. Whether
Absolutely.
It's peripheral, you know, him getting, you know, from the hotel room or being wherever they got you, they're chipping away at everybody from that whole episode. They don't want to think, they don't want to set a precedent for patriots doing their thing and standing up for their property rights. And so it's a very important case. Lori's right. I think it is the trial of the century. It's the most important one for vast, wide, far-reaching, far into time reasons. It's more important than any other case. You know,
there's another case that operates on this very, very powerfully, and that's a freedom of speech case. It's the city of Houston, Texas versus Hill.
Mm-hmm.
It says that law enforcement has a duty and a responsibility to expect strong resistance and taking positions that are opposed, such as telling them they're number one with the middle finger, as that did in that case. And they are expected by taking that job as part of the conditions of the job that strong freedom of speech demonstrations opposed to their criminal acts outside scope, sphere, and color of law are to be expected and are part of the job duties for the law enforcement professional.
Well, the middle finger's already been ruled on by the Supreme Court to be under freedom of speech.
Yes, ma'am.
And you know what kills me? Most people don't even know what the middle finger actually signifies. They think it means the F-U, right? But the reality is, and the history of it, and you can look this up. And I'm trying to remember what era it was in. I believe it was either World War One or Two. I can't remember which one right off the top of my head. I will research it, and we'll get back to it on the next show that I do. But it stemmed from the trigger fingers would be cut off of the opposing enemy and for them to be let live. And they would cut their trigger fingers off so that they couldn't, quote unquote, fight or use a weapon.
Yeah, it was a historical spinoff. It was a spinoff from what the archers did to the, I believe it was at the Battle of Towson, and where the archers were doing the kind of a finger, same type of thing, because they had the same situation where if they got captured, they get their archer thing, the finger that was crucial to the archery, I believe it was either the thumb or the forefinger, cut off, you know, so they couldn't fire any more arrows and go back into battle, and so they'd flip them the kind of bird similar to that. It was a spinoff of what they did, I think it was in the 1500s at the Battle of Towson. I don't have my notes in front of me, but I'm sure I got the date wrong. But
right, but we will get into that a different time, too, because sure. It's really interesting because what it was it wasn't an F-U. It was letting them know that I still have this finger and I'm going to use this one.
Got the finger, baby.
You know, so remember next time you flip the bird, it's not signification of F-U. We got this. And everyone else, as always, watch your backs, check your facts. Semper Fi Dallas, have a wonderful night and a great Veterans Day. God bless you all.
Yeah, don't forget to spread a link to this broadcast and especially the one from last night when Mike's going to get it uploaded. Please follow us. We'll be that documentary next week. Thanks for joining us. See you guys. Thank you, Lori, Gary, Chris, and Mike on the board. Appreciate everything. Have a good night.
God bless America. God bless the Republic.
Like a crashing wave, can you hear us now? Can you hear us?
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss.